Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, the aftermath of yet another attack on Al-Shifa, Gaza's largest hospital.
I pray to God to protect us. People were calling out, but no one is hearing.
Hospital staff and an Al Jazeera journalist were beaten and detained. Why? I'm Malika Bilal, and this is The Take. Okay, let's start with an introduction. You and I are old friends and colleagues from DC, but you're in a new location.
Thank you for having me. My name is Bisan Abukwek. I'm an Al Jazeera Arabic correspondent. I was based in Washington, D.C. for a long time, and I just moved to New York to cover the UN beat and other news happening in New York.
Welcome to New York. I hope it's a good experience for you. I know that you're new to covering the UN full time, but you're not new to the story that we're talking about today, which is what's happening in Gaza, especially as it pertains to our own Al Jazeera colleagues. So I know you were following what happened at Al-Shifa Hospital on Monday when Israeli forces stormed the compound and arrested at least 200 people, including Al Jazeera journalist Ismail Al-Ghul.
Israeli forces raiding Al-Shifa Hospital have severely beaten Al Jazeera journalist Ismail Al-Ghul. He was covering the military's attack with colleagues when he was dragged away.
Can you tell me about what you understand happened?
So what I understand happened was in the early hours of Monday, we started getting reporting that there was an operation targeting Al-Shifa Hospital. And then at one point, we received news that our colleague Ismail Al-Ghul was arrested and that he was severely beaten, that he was stripped of his clothes. Apparently, there were eyewitnesses to that.
Our colleague in Gaza, Hani Mahmoud, described what those witnesses said.
We were told by an eyewitness inside the hospital that Ismail and his crew member were actually beaten and were verbally abused and dehumanized, basically, and tortured before they were led into the unknown area.
Dozens of people were killed in the attack. Daniel Hagari, a spokesman for the Israeli military, says they arrested more than 200 and killed 20.
The Hamas terrorist organization continues to operate from within civilian hospitals and facilities in a methodical manner. It exploits civilians and patients as a human shield. Hamas is trying to establish its base in the hospital and to use it as a shelter for terrorists. We will not allow this, and we will attack, and we will continue to attack anywhere Hamas will attempt to reestablish its grip.
Gaza's health ministry says that isn't true.
The health ministry accuses Israel of using fabricated narratives to deceive the world and justify the storming of Al-Shifa.
And as this was happening, Bisan was hearing that more journalists were arrested too.
We got news that the rest of the Al Jazeera team and crew there also were arrested and broadcast equipment was destroyed. And then as of that moment, many of us, especially in the U.S. and in Europe, depending on what our beat is, get some sort of reaction or comment on his arrest. This is not the first time Al Jazeera colleagues in Gaza and in the West Bank also, in the case of Shireen Abu Akleh, have been targeted and killed, as in the case of Shireen. And in Gaza, their family members have been killed, as in the case of Wa'il al-Dahdouh, and Samer Abu Daqqa, he himself was killed by an Israeli strike.
Samer Abu Daqqa was the 13th Al Jazeera journalist killed since the network launched in 1996.
So when this happens, when a journalist from the network is arrested and reports trickle through that they've been severely beaten and detained for no reason or for no reason that's reported, what happens among you and your colleagues?
It's alarm, I would say, worry. But also, given where we are and geographically, it's our duty to try and get some sort of commentary or statement from the officials and the organizations that we cover or the institutions that we cover. So immediately in the morning, sent an email to the press office here for the Secretary General spokesperson's office. And, you know, they responded actually very quickly. And then later on in the day, when the actual press briefing happened, I asked the question again.
You've only been assigned to the UN for a few weeks now, and you get the first question at this press briefing on the day that our colleague is detained and beaten.
Thank you. First, our colleague Ismail Al-Ghul was arrested this morning at Al-Shifa Hospital by Israeli forces. He was severely beaten. He was stripped of his clothing. And then
so how did it go? Tell me about your question and tell me about the answer.
So basically, the answer was along the lines of, you know, the UN stands against any attacks on journalists anywhere.
And certainly we do so in this instance. Our sympathies go to your colleague as well as to all the other journalists who suffered from any violence during the course of this incident.
So this was the gist of their position. And then, interestingly, after that, one of my colleagues in the room followed up basically saying that you did not call for his release.
But do you urge the authority to release him to respect the freedom of press?
We believe that that journalists who are detained in the course of their reporting duties should be released.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the follow-up answer was that we call for the release of all journalists who are arrested while they are doing their jobs.
We know that Ismail was released not long after that. Do you think that those questions in the briefing room had some effect?
I mean, I hope so. Maybe not just my questions, because I know that our colleagues in Washington, too, were reaching out to U.S. officials. All of, you know, the pressure probably might have played a role. To be honest, it's really hard to know if it did or did not.
Ismail spoke to Al Jazeera soon after his release.
We had to surrender because we were afraid the occupation forces may massacre or execute us or shoot at us, even though there was a clear press sign in the room. We had to surrender and leave our room. After that, the occupation forces forced us to strip naked and lay on the ground and put our hands on our heads for about an hour in a very cold weather. And then they handcuffed and blindfolded us, and we remained like that for about 12 hours, from the morning hours until the evening. There is a big number of displaced families inside the Shifa medical complex, and while the occupation forces check people's IDs and interrogate them, they force the elderly and children to leave and head south.
More after the break.
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day, with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
U.S. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel spoke about the arrests of journalists in Gaza, but he was somewhat muted when it came to the U.S.'s response to Israel's fourth raid on Gaza's largest hospital.
The circumstances are as such in Gaza, where we believe the journalism and the voices of journalists is more important than ever. But again, as it relates to this specific situation, we've asked for more information, but I don't have any other specific comment on that.
So, Bisan, up until 2 weeks ago, you were covering the U.S. Congress a few hours south in Washington, D.C., and people often talk about U.S. support for Israel, and it's an increasingly isolated position. How do you explain it to people? Are attitudes changing?
At one point before October 7th, there was a push within progressive voices in Congress who have been calling out Israel, especially when it comes to settlements in the West Bank. When October 7th happened, we heard less people speaking out against the war on Gaza, with the exception of Rashida Tlaib and Cori Bush, who from day one were calling for a ceasefire. And it seemed at that time, back in October, that they were lone voices. But now that momentum has been growing and more people are joining that call. And it's not just necessarily the call for a ceasefire. I mean, for the first time, I would say, in years, or maybe in Congress's history, we actually hear voices that are considered more to the center, center-left, basically questioning the U.S. support to Israel, especially providing Israel with military aid. And some well-known senators on the Democratic Party side who have been calling out the administration when it comes to U.S. support and conditioning aid. And this all culminated maybe in the speech that we heard from Senate Majority Chuck Schumer last week. I don't know if many of your listeners know. I mean, Chuck Schumer is well known to take pro-Israel positions. So he gave a lengthy speech on the Senate floor.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way. He has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah.
So, I mean, this is a huge change.
Of course, at the end of the day, the U.S. is also still sending Israel weapons and military aid. Which brings us back to the operation in Gaza at Al-Shifa Hospital. This is not the first time that we've talked about Al-Shifa on The Take. It's also not the first attack on Al-Shifa Hospital, and not the first Israeli attack on a hospital in Gaza.
I'm currently at Shifa Hospital. The situation here is absolutely catastrophic. There is an impending public health catastrophe. Israelis are trying to force a collapse in the health system as part of the pressure on Palestinian society. Unless the humanitarian community intervenes, then this place is heading to absolute disaster.
So what does the UN say about the conditions and what's happening there?
Under international humanitarian law, hospitals are protected and should not be attacked. The head of the WHO said yesterday that he was extremely worried, terribly worried about the situation at Al-Shifa, and it is endangering civilians, both patients and health workers. And he reiterated that hospitals should never be battlegrounds and must be protected. And Al-Shifa has been functional at the minimal level since, you know, previous attacks. So this further endangers people who are being treated there and people who are actually sheltering there, because hospitals now have turned into shelters for displaced Gazans. And Malika, let me say that what happened at Al-Shifa came the same day that UN experts released a report warning of an imminent famine in North Gaza. And we heard the Secretary General come out and use very strong terms based on that report and how the international community needs to move before the unthinkable and unjustifiable, and these are his words, happen.
We must act now to prevent the unthinkable, the unacceptable, and the unjustifiable. Today's report is Exhibit A for the need for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire.
So, Bizan, this happened on Monday. What's in store for the rest of the week?
Last night, we had close consultations at the Security Council that the French mission had called for on Gaza. there are multiple drafts of resolutions. One draft that actually was distributed to members was the U.S. draft that actually supports efforts that would lead to immediate ceasefire and the release of the hostages. But so far, as of this moment, there seems to be multiple things and efforts going on, but so far nothing has been scheduled for a vote.
Bisan, thank you so much for walking us through this, your new assignment, but yet you have so much information. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by David Enders and Veronica Campana, with Zeina Bedr, Khalid Sultan, Ashish Malhotra, Amy Walters, Nagin Oliayi, Miranda Lin, Sonia Bagat, Sariel Khalili, Chloe K. Lee, and me, Malika Bilal. Alex Roldan is our sound designer. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nay Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back tomorrow.